just go ahead.
Classroom series with Jim Phillips, sharing with you my passion to create a culture of preparedness in the face of a changing world. See, my focus is to teach a family-based family series in how to be prepared from a principle base, not just a list of things of what to buy, but it's about becoming truly prepared so that you and I can face the future without fear, no matter what may be happening. Now, this is number two in our series. And I would refer you back to the previous program, which you can listen to in the archives at RBN. You see, I'm going to do it as a series, and it'll be kind of an ongoing set of things. We're going to build on what we've been teaching, past principles and concepts. For that reason, for the time being, we're not going to be taking live questions on the air right now. And I would encourage you to send in any question that you have. You can do it by email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or there's a toll-free voicemail where you can leave your messages, your questions, any suggestions or ideas that you may have. We're welcome to receive those. And you can call me at 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888-U-GET-SET. Now, as I said, this is number two in our series, and it's we're going to be talking about parachutes and provisions. You see, one of the challenges that I have is to, this is a serious topic. This is not one of those things that you can laugh off. I like to keep things upbeat, even though it is serious, but not get flippant. The other challenge we have is we've got many different listeners at different levels of preparedness, like to help bring us all up to kind of at the same point on the same page. Now, for that reason, I'll actually be doing some very quick review of what we went through last week, but it'll be quick, and I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the archives at RBN because those great people are putting them up so that you can catch up with it. If you remember this little thought that I gave you, it's what I call the truth about life. There's no doubt that tomorrow will come, and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. And I believe that our lives were created to be grand adventures of growth and development and change, and to become more than we were as we first started out. Now, with that thought in mind, I'm going to give you some principles. Here's some new things that we didn't talk about last week real quickly. You see, I call it the first law of survival. If you're going to survive very, very tough situations, you know, when it gets as bad as it can possibly get and it couldn't get any worse, of course, I think you know something. When it's as bad as it can get, you don't ever say, you know, well, it can't get any worse because, boy, it'll be a surprise when it does. But if you want to get through these very tough times, it's almost entirely a matter of luck. It's just all about luck. And, of course, some people say, well, rats, you mean I have to be lucky? Well, of course you do, but you have to understand the true definition of luck. Let me tell you what luck really is. You see, it's an acronym. Put a period after each one of those letters, L-U-C-K, and luck stands for laboring under correct knowledge. That's what it is. Laboring under correct
knowledge. Do you know Jingo Solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back again. And as I was saying just before going to break, you know, this first law of survival, which is luck, but it's the acronym of luck, which is laboring under correct knowledge. And that's what this is all about. In fact, that's what my interest is giving you information and helping you understand how and why things work so that you can have the knowledge, the understanding of how and why these things work. And then that'll let you make proper decisions. So that's the first law of survival. Second law of survival, in order for you to make it through very tough times when everything seems to go wrong and it doesn't look like it could get any worse, you must be practicing and learning right now CPR. CPR is a very important thing for you to learn. But there's two kinds of CPR. You have the CPR that the Red Cross will teach you, and that's a very important skill, and I encourage you to learn that cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Vital that you understand that one. But there's another CPR that I want to teach you about, and that is courage, patience, and resourcefulness. You must learn and practice courage, patience, and resourcefulness now. You see, trying to learn those things when you're in the midst of when everything's gone wrong, it's kind of like, well, falling out of a plane and trying to figure out how to put it on and use it while you're falling. Reading the instruction manual then is not a good time. You have to do these things beforehand. You have to practice and play with them. So CPR, courage, patience, and resourcefulness, is one of those things. You see, if you don't have courage when you face things that are very tough, now, by the way, courage is not about being fearless. Courage is about facing your fears and moving forward no matter what. So when things get really tough, you've got to go forward. I've heard some people say, you know, when it really gets all that bad, I just want the Lord to take me home. I just don't want to go through those things. Well, I don't know. That doesn't seem like the right attitude to me. The other one is Of course, patience. Now, what's patience all about? Patience is about being willing to just write it out, to go through things. Now, that isn't a passive word. That doesn't mean you just kind of sit around and take abuse. What it means is that you just function no matter what, and you keep going as long as you have to. And, of course, that's extremely important for those that have family. When we're taking care of spouses and we're taking care of children and grandchildren, having the courage and the patience to keep going is vital. And, of course, resourcefulness is just that. It's about being able to look outside the box. It's about finding answers. It's about looking around you and saying, golly, I don't have the thing I'd really like to have, but you know what? I can substitute this. I can do this. I can make it. I can create it. That's resourcefulness. Those are some of the things that you must be learning. Now, in order for us to get going here, see, people want to talk about stuff, and I'm going to give you principles, and that's what we're looking at all the time. But I want to get on with some of the stuff because we understand material things. You see, we are material beings, if you will, and we can touch them and feel them and have them. We can go get and own things, and it's something that, you know, you understand. Well, here's one idea that I'd like you to understand is this. I'm not just going to give you a list of things to go buy, because if I just told you what to buy, when it really, really gets tough, you're just going to give up and die. It's about understanding what to do with the things that you have. Now, remember last time we talked about very briefly the law of freedom? Well, first off, we look at what is fear. Fear is ignorance. The flip side of that about freedom is it is impossible to fear anything for which you have true and complete knowledge. And, of course, we find in the Bible stated much more clearly, much more simply than that in John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. We talked about this idea of parachutes. You know, what's a parachute? Well, it's this thing, if you have one on, fall out of a plane, you've got a chance of living. If you don't have a parachute on, it makes no difference that you were going to buy one or you left it in the plane or you don't know how to use it or it's not of quality. You must have the parachute with you when you need it. It must be on when you need it. You must know how to use it. You must actually use it. And of course, it has to be of life-saving quality. And we gave you the parachutes last week, and I'm going to go into those in greater depth here in just a few moments. You remember the law of provident living. In the law of provident living, there were four parts, the last one being the stuff, the material things. And the material things breaks into two parts. We call them the survival parachutes or the preparedness parachutes, either one. And the other one is the permanent or long-term provisions. For the preparedness parachutes, there are four, and that's what we're going to go into in depth today. The four are this. Number one, clothing. Number two, water. Number three, sanitation. Number four, special needs. Then you have the long-term provisions, which starts out the same way, clothing, water, sanitation. Number four is nutrition. You know, you're not going to die of hunger within the first 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks, actually. I'm not talking about that we all have to fast. I'm just simply saying that most people are not going to die within a few minutes if they don't have any clothing on, if they don't have any nutrition with them or they don't have any food. So it's about having, when you get into a long-term situation, it's about having the nutrition that you need. And, of course, I said nutrition, not just food. Shelter is number five, and then six is wellness, seven is tools, and eight is supplies. When we're talking about these provisions that are going to help us live providently, living providently is making provisions for the future. They have to be based on principles. They're a part of a system so that things fit together. They're synergistic and they work together. Everything is expandable. Well, let's go to these parachutes, and we're going to begin with number one, which is clothing. And what I'd like you to understand is that it's a much broader thing than just clothing that you put on. We say clothing, and it's like, well, shirt and pants and socks and shoes and hats and things like that. And it is those things, and we will talk about them, but I'd like to broaden that a little bit. You see, clothing is personal, portable shelter. That's what it is. If it's sheltering you from the elements, then it is something we would call clothing. Now, why is clothing a parachute item? Well, when everything really goes badly, and if you live in a climate like I do, where you have winter, and it's easy to understand in winter, see if the temperature is, you know, 0 degrees or 10 below zero or 10 above zero, and if you were thrown outside and there was no shelter, you couldn't get inside of anything and you couldn't have any fire to heat you with, then you're going to be comfortable or uncomfortable, injured or not injured, live or die, based on what you're wearing. It will be your clothing that determines if you are safe, if you're comfortable. But see, clothing is a little bit broader than that. Let's say you live in a very warm climate. Then you may face some other things where you need personal protection. Sunscreen is really a type of clothing. It's something that you would wear to protect you from the rays of the sun. Insect repellent, that's clothing, so that you don't get bit by these critters that may, in fact, carry disease. Mosquito netting, that would be clothing that you would put on over the body. You see, those types of things are also clothing. Let me expand it to another little thought here. People that see me in the DVDs and videos or live classes, I'm forever pulling out my pocket knife, which is hooked to a lanyard to my pants, and I hold it up and I say, this is clothing. My pocket knife is clothing. Now, there's two reasons that's true. One of them is the fact that I'm not going to go anyplace without my pocket knife, well, except on the airlines right now, which is a real hassle, and I'm uncomfortable with that thought, but I just have to deal with it. But other than that, I have my pocket knife with me all the time. It's tied to me. So it's clothing because I wear it, but more importantly, it's clothing because when things go wrong and when I don't have some of the things I need with me, my pocket knife allows me to cut into things, into the front seat of my car, into the couch cushions, into the airplane seat, snowmobile seat, snowcat seat, or something like that where I can find materials that I can use for insulation to take care of myself. This is particularly true in the cold. But I can use it to cut up a piece of cardboard to make a hat so that I can shelter myself from the sun. You see, hat is clothing, a big broad-rimmed hat to keep the sun off of your neck and head and shoulders. That's really clothing. It's portable shade is what it is. So my pocket knife lets me do things like that. Also understand when we're talking about clothing, it's also about how do you maintain that clothing. How do you repair it? How do you fix it? How do you clean it? All of those things really become a part of clothing. Well, with that little bit of expansion, think about this. What are some of the things you may want to have on the list? Now, we're talking about emergencies. We're talking about things that go wrong. Let's say that there was, if you live in an area where there's an earthquake, like I do, and everything falls down, and your supplies or your family or a friend next door somehow is trapped inside of that rubble, and you want to dig down to them or the things that you need. You really don't want to do that with your bare hands. You're going to tear your hands up, and you won't be able to work as effectively. So having good, sturdy work gloves, that's an important thing to have as a part of clothing. It's personal, portable protection is what it is. So work gloves, I like to use things that are leather. Leather backs also is good. And you want to use the heavier ones, kind of like the welding glove variety. You know, these thin ones that you can buy for a buck and a half on sale, you'll wear through those things in 5 minutes when you're scratching through the dirt and concrete and broken boards and those things. You're going to tear your hands up. Get quality, just like it is with a knife. You know, you can buy a $9 knife, but a $9 knife that's probably made for 50 cents overseas is not going to hold up very well. So you spend some serious dollars on these things. We'll talk about things where you save money in some areas so you can afford to put it into the quality. Well, work gloves, very, very important thing to have during an emergency so that you can handle things that may be twisted or broken or shattered. Another thing that's clothing, this is particularly true in some climates, rain gear and water protection. If you live in the Pacific Northwest or in the Gulf Coast regions or some places like that, there may be a lot of rain, and it doesn't have to be really cold for it to be threatening. See, 50 degrees with wind and rain, and if you're just out there in street clothing and getting yourself soaked, you're threatened. That can get you in trouble in a big hurry, and that in just a few minutes you're cold, and in a few hours you can be in mild hypothermia, and if you were out there continuously, you could literally die from that exposure, as sometimes it's called, but it's really your core temperature dropping. That's why clothing to protect you from the rain is extremely important. We'll see you after the break and talk more about clothing.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. And if you have questions that you'd like to email to us, you can email me at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or you can call and leave a voicemail at 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. And we'll pick up all of your questions. We'll be sure that we answer them. We'll add them into our program on the air. Plus, we'll get back with you. And another thing, if you're wanting to study some of these things in greater depth, there's two things you can do. One, you can refer back to the archives that are on RBN because you'll find previous programs there. And this is a series that I'm going through to teach things that I teach in live classes across the country and that we have in DVDs and CDs. And that's one way that you can learn is refer back to these programs. The cost is great. Just log on to RBN Live and click on Archives, and you can listen to the programs as we're doing them in a series. The other thing that you may want to do is get on our website, which is preparemyfamily.com, and there's both free information that you can download there, printed documents. There's more that will be coming. And you can also order one of the things I recommend that people do to get started. It's a two-hour principle-based DVD covering many of the things I'm talking about here and more. Of course, you can also see what we're talking about there. It's called the number one in the Self-Reliant Family Series. It's the Foundation Series, so you can get that one. It's $5.50. That's the cost of delivering it to you for the number one DVD. I'd highly recommend you get that. In fact, there's a button on there. I think it says DVD giveaway. The material we're giving away just for the cost of delivering it to you for $5.50. Well, as we went to the break, I'd been talking about clothing. This is the first of the parachutes. Remember, the parachutes are number one, clothing, number two, water, sanitation, special needs. And, you know, it's more than just a jacket, more than shoes and those kinds of things. So it was about the, we're talking about rain protection and rain gear. If you live in an area where you have a lot of rain, and it may be sleet and wet conditions, then you're going to put more money into your rain gear. If you live in a more dry area like I do, you're probably not going to use it as much, so you can be a little lower cost. Now, by the way, if money is a challenge, and sometimes it is, there's many things you can do at very, very low cost. In fact, some of them are free, and we'll talk about as many of those things as we can. Just a big old garbage bag, big old trash bag that you can get rolls of these things. Of course, you can recycle one in a pinch. You may want to turn it inside out if it's kind of dirty on the inside. But you can cut a hole for your head. You can cut some slits on the sides for your arms to go out, and that'll keep rain off of most of your body. I have one that I made with it's a grocery bag that goes over the head, and then using a little bit of, you could either use duct tape or packing tape, something like that, to tape it on. It has a hood on it. And you say, well, what about sleeves? Well, you could make sleeves. Or what you can do, when what I do is, hey, if your arms are getting wet and you don't want them to get wet, just pull your arms inside. You'll hold them inside. Now, if you're trying to carry something or you need to balance yourself, your arms will be outside. But if you can keep most of your body dry, if the temperatures are not too terribly cold, then you're going to be okay anyway. So you see, there's things you can do that are very, very low cost. You can find things in an emergency. So rain protection. Now, you know, in these emergency kits, and last week when we went through things, I went through a section I called my Your 72-Hour Kit Could Kill You. It's kind of the standard kind of emergency kits that you buy or you see lists of them out there. And as I emphasized then, and I will now, it's not that everything in there is wrong. It's just that people do not understand the limits, what they will do, what they will not do. One of the things that you find in kind of the clothing section in these emergency kits are the space blankets, you know, the reflective blanket that you can wrap around you. And a lot of times they're in form of a bag that you can just kind of step into and pull it up around you. It's kind of an emergency sleeping bag. Of course, realize that a sleeping bag or blankets, that's just nighttime clothing. So this still fits in the clothing area, even if you're thinking about using it to sleep in. Well, went into that a little more depth last time. I'll touch on it here, and we probably will again in the future, because there's a lot of things that are sold with the idea, the impression that's given that this is just miraculous in what it'll do. It's just magic in all the things it'll do. And so we have these space blankets. In fact, I have this one that's that comes in one of these kits that has this smiley kid on the front who's wrapped up in this silver blanket and all smiles, you know, and there's a statement on here that says reflects 80% of body radiated body heat. And it does do that. It does reflect 80% of the body heat. But how much heat do you lose through radiation? You lose heat through three mechanisms, if you will, the laws of physics we're talking about here. You conduct heat to something that you're in contact with. It convects away from you. That's where the air is in contact with your body. The air warms up, and then it rises off of your body. It floats, if you will, and colder air comes in by your body, and so it carries heat away. That's natural convection. Or you can have, of course, forced convection, which will be in the wind. And then you have radiation. So that's the three ways that you lose heat: radiation, conduction, and convection. And as I pointed out last time, that if you were like standing outside at night on top of a mountain in the winter on a clear night, and we took all of your clothing off and we painted you flat black, what am I trying to do? Turn you into a black body radiator to see how much heat you will radiate, and we'll answer that right after we come back from this break.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, talking about how we can help ourselves, our families, and our neighbors around us be prepared for any eventuality in the future. This is a series to teach you some of the principles and concepts and things that I've practiced through the many years and have been teaching all around the country, both live and, of course, DVDs and CDs. Well, we were talking about these space blankets. They're useful up to a point, but what will they do for you? Remember I said that you lose heat be it through conduction, convection, and radiation, and the space blanket or the reflective bag is going to return 80% of your radiated heat. So how much do you lose when you're standing out there painted black with your clothing off at night on a mountain peak so you're a black body radiator giving good deep space radiation? About 10% of your body heat is going to be lost through radiation. What that means is you're going to get back 80% of the 10%, so if you're not paying attention to the other 92%, you've got a big problem. They will help. They are useful. They can make the difference between being semi-comfortable and suffering terribly. They might make the difference in a very severe condition between making it or not making it. But you need to understand what they will and will not do. Here's the answer. Sometimes people say, well, what do they really do, or how well does it work? Well, go use it. It's exactly what I did. Night before last, I'm training some trainers who are going to go out to teach the classes. They'll be doing live classes, teaching these principles and concepts and how and why things work, so we can take this message across the country. And so I don't believe that you have the right to teach something you haven't lived. And so these folks that I am training, they're going out with me, and we're doing some unusual things. We met about, it was about 9 o'clock at night. I locked them in the back of a truck, and we drove up a little canyon over here a little ways outside of my house because there was a storm coming. And I wanted to get them out in some weather. It's in the low 40s and dipping into the 30s, and it's raining. And by the time we quit, it had been snowing on us up there. I took away everything from them except kind of standard light jackets and just clothing that you might have in these not extreme conditions. But if you got caught out there, you wish you had more. I gave them their space blanket and their reflective bag, and that's what we sat around in our chairs and had a instruction series because they needed to feel what they will do and what they will not do. We were there for 4 hours. We left at just a little bit before 1 a.m. in the morning. Temperature was right around 32 degrees because we were getting some snow and a little bit of ice forming out there. Maybe it was 30 degrees, so it wasn't extremely cold. Every one of us was in mild hypothermia. Hypothermia is when you start to shiver. Your core temperature has dropped enough that your body is wanting to create some heat, so you're beginning to shiver. As that deepens, and one of these times we'll talk about hypothermia in depth and how you protect yourself from it and how you recover from it, but just understand if you start to shiver, you're now in hypothermia. It's not threatening when it first begins, but if it deepens and gets your shivering becomes harder and then you eventually stop shivering, you're in very, very serious trouble. You don't want that to happen. So there we were, 4 hours, not even the entire night. Everybody is in hypothermia, and the temperatures were not much below freezing when we were out there. So they understand what they will and they will not do. Now, obviously, we were far better off than if we were just sitting outside in the rain and in the sleet and in the snow. We would have been in trouble a long time before that. You know, within an hour, within 45 minutes, we would have really been suffering. So they did help. It extended our time. But it's not magic. And you're not going to sit out there wrapped up in one of these things and have just an absolutely wonderful night. Realize that. See, part of what I want to do is warn people about things because they have a misunderstanding. It's sometimes they're sold as though they'll really do something more than they possibly can. That just brings us back to, hey, if you want to know what a space blanket does, go outside and sit outside when it's 50 degrees, when it's 40 degrees, when it's 20 degrees. Wrap up in one of those things and see what it'll do for you so that you'll understand. In other words, you now have the knowledge because you've got the experience to turn that information into knowledge. Well, here's another little thing. This isn't exactly in the clothing, but it's in your kits. We talked about it last week, and it's because you get cold and your clothing may be inadequate, so they put in these little heat packs, you know, the little bags that you rip open and shake up the little white bag in there, and they get hot. And the point is simply this. Number one, there's not enough BTUs in there to do a lot, unless you had 100 of them to pack all around your body. Yeah, they will warm a hand or a foot or something like that. But the real problem is not that. The real problem is these things have a shelf life. They are not permanent in terms of how long you can store them. They have a practical shelf life of no more than 2 years. In fact, I would say 1 year. They've got to be used within 1 year, or they should just be thrown out because they age. They actually oxidize the iron that's in there. And when you get ready to use one that's 5 years old and you rip it open hoping that you can thaw out your hands, you won't. It's dead. It will do nothing. So that's just a little warning to let you know. If you're buying them at the garage sale or at the end of the clearance, if they've been on the shelf for a year and then you're buying them at the end of the season of the next year, they're probably no good. Test them. Get out your little heat packs and try them out and see if they're still getting warm for you. Well, a lot of what we talk about, and when I come back, and I'm going to do an entire class in depth on clothing, we're just going to touch on it here. We're going to give you an overview of all of these areas so that you'll understand why I talk about things the way I do. We're going to come back, and we'll probably do several hours on nothing but the clothing, and we'll go in depth, particularly cold weather and winter clothing. You see, winter and cold weather, it can be a serious hazard. But here's a thought. If you know how to swim, it doesn't make any difference how deep the water is. Well, if you know how to stay warm, doesn't make any difference how cold it is. What we're talking about is breaking the cold barrier. Now, not everybody lives in areas and regions where the temperatures may go way below zero. I do. And I seek out places where we can spend time in below zero temperatures. It's a wonderful thing to do. But keep in mind that you can suffer hypothermia, injury, and death above freezing. It does not have to be extremely cold for you to be hurt. So the principles we're talking about here work whether you're in the south or whether you're in the north. You need to pay attention to them. And of course, understand that, you know, I was on a speaking tour years ago. And the folks that put me on this speaking tour, they just had kind of a route that we ran through. And I found myself in Florida. And we were talking about cold weather in winter. That's my specialty, one of the things I've done for years. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be down here to talk to this group of people. And it's going to be the host and me, and maybe one person will show up. But I figured, that's fine. If one person is there, I'm thrilled. If the host is there, we'll have a meeting. Because I figure that the important people are there. That was the largest meeting we'd had up to that point. I was dumbfounded at first, and I thought, what is going on? Here I am in Boca Raton, Florida, talking about Arctic and winter and cold weather, and we had a large crowd of people there. And I asked people, why are you here? Because I didn't get it. I should have, but I didn't. And they said, well, what you have to understand, we live down here because we're from Minnesota, Michigan, New York. They named off places. We moved down here to get away from it. But we have family up there. We visit up there. We want to help them. And so it's like, well, for me, it was like, yeah, duh, that makes sense. Of course, a lot of people have moved down here. I was also over in, I think it was Louisiana, doing a meeting over there. And I asked the same question. I wanted to know why they were there, and I got a slightly different answer. There was one just beautiful grandmother that was right there in the front. She looked up at me in her wonderful southern accent. She said, honey, she says, I got to tell you, it may not get much below freezing down here, but when it does, we are really cold because they're more used to having the milder temperatures. So 40 degrees and 35 and 28 degrees are very threatening to them. So it is, in fact, relative, and you don't have to be in extremely cold conditions to be hurt. Let's go back to this idea of clothing and staying warm. Many people say, I've got a wood-burning stove, I got a pile of wood, I have a bunch of coal, whatever it is, I'm going to be okay. And you probably are. You can take care of your house. A couple of my students live in areas where they're literally in a wood lot, and they have monstrous piles of wood, but they've also come to the classes to learn about the clothing and how to make it. Here's the thing about a gigantic pile of wood and a wood-burning stove. That's not portable. If you have to leave your shelter, your home, you're not taking that pile of wood and that wood-burning stove along with you. If you get caught someplace away from your shelter, then you've got to have the clothing. So wood-burning stoves and cold stoves are a nice thing to have if you're in the right area and as long as you're around those things, but they're not portable. And besides that, what are you going to do if you run out? I have a friend who has in his front yard, he's got a 1,000-gallon propane tank buried out there. And he has everything in his house he can power with propane. He has a stand-down generator, solar panels, and those things, which is wonderful. And he says, listen, I can take care of my lifestyle and my comfort for 2 years. I said, that's wonderful. What are you going to do for year three? And I just got this blank look. And, of course, the hope is, well, we don't want things to go that long. But what if it does? You have to be prepared for those eventualities. As we talk about clothing in depth, when we come back, and I'm going to do several hours just on clothing, but give you some highlights right here, we're really talking about obeying the laws of physics. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to fight the laws of physics. We're going to obey the laws of physics. Here's the two simple concepts within the laws of physics in terms of staying warm. One is retain body heat. That's all about insulation. And by the way, that's quite easy to do. Retaining body heat, there's so many things you can use for insulation that'll retain the heat. It's easy. And in the survival sections, we need to talk about all the alternate kinds of things that you could be using. But the other part of it, and this is where the rub comes in, it's to release moisture. Moisture that's coming out of your body, moisture that may be getting in from the outside, you get things damp and they get wet inadvertently. As much as you try to stay dry, there's water that gets inside of your clothing. And what's the big deal about water in clothing? Well, in the simplest of senses, what is it that actually insulates us in our clothing? It is trapped, stabilized, dry, non-moving air. That's all that it is. And if you take out a little bit of that air and you put in a little bit of moisture, you have a huge impact because moisture, water, transfers heat 25 times faster than air. Take out a little bit of air, put in a little bit of water, you have a huge impact. So your clothing does not have to become dripping wet, doesn't even have to feel particularly damp for you to impact the insulation value significantly. So those two things is what we will be focusing on as we go into in depth. It's about how to retain body heat and how to release the moisture. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background here for a few moments, and this is not a travel log about me, and this is not really to bring light on me. This is to bring light on the principles, the concepts, the ideas, so that you will understand the kinds of things that you can do. See, the bottom line is this. If you do what I do, then you can do what I do. If you understand, if you practice things the way that I do, then you can go to the places, be comfortable, have a wonderful time in conditions that look like they would be very, very threatening. There's a lot of history behind this. It actually started back in the late 1950s when I was a young kid at home and we were doing the first of our snow camps and our winter camps. And I'm here to tell you, they were like awful, comes to mind. Painful, miserable things. But it was beautiful. Nobody was there. We were alone. My dad wanted to go, and I kind of wanted to go with him to be with my dad, but he didn't like the pain all that much. But, you know, I'm a young guy, and I just go with my dad. And we kept trying all kinds of things, and there was all kinds of suffering that went on from 1956 up until 1962. That's when we were, I'll say, doing it the conventional way with all the layers and different things we tried to do. In 1962, after a snowshoe trip, my dad said, you know, we got to find a better way to do this or stop going because we're just not masochists. It was just getting to be too painful, and we were pushing the limits. That's when he threw out the way that everybody was doing things. We were listening to all the survival people in the military and reading the books and trying the different things. And it really came down to you had to be willing to suffer if you were going to be out there in the cold. And neither one of us were into pain all that much. You know, pain's just not what it's cracked up to be, I got to tell you. So he said, look, I'm an engineer. What would I do to stay warm, dry, and comfortable? It came back to the idea of how do I retain my heat and how do I get rid of the moisture? And that's when some new ideas came along that we'll go into in depth as time goes on. By 1967, we were able to do some incredible things. In 1967, as I was going into the military, and it was going to be off in the Vietnam campaign, my dad and I had talked about going on the ultimate winter camp, the ultimate snow camp, which was in Alaska. We talked about going snow camping in Alaska for a long time. We did our camping in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado, northern New Mexico, and through Colorado. And a wonderful place to camp. We were able to camp at 20, 30, 40, 50 below zero at times. And so we thought, let's go to Alaska. And as you looked at the map, it was like, well, heck, if we're going to Alaska, let's go to the Arctic because you just stay on the plane and fly up to Point Barrow, Alaska. That's almost 600 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And that's where we decided that we would fly into and just set up camp and have a wonderful snow camp up there. It was a vacation. Of course, I know about now there are some people thinking this guy is really weird. But the idea is this. If you're comfortable, dry, warm, why wouldn't it be a wonderful place to be? And that's what we did. We left home, dressed in our Arctic gear, flew for, took us a couple of days of stops and transferring in planes to get up there. We walked off the plane at Point Barrow, Alaska, had been riding in a plane, you know, that's, you know, 70 degrees inside. You step outside, it was 30 below zero. So there was a 100-degree temperature range, and I'm here to tell you that we didn't change clothing. We didn't put anything else on because when we left, we were wearing the same clothing. That's one of the things that's unique about this. When you do it right, you can have a very broad temperature range. Well, we spent 2 weeks up there on the polar ice camp. Built some igloos, spent time with the natives up there, with the Eskimos, spent time at the Arctic Research Lab, had a marvelous time, learned things that we hadn't learned before, and of course we were in an environment where the temperature was really cold all the time. See, when you camp in the southern areas like our Rocky Mountains, it may be 40 below zero at night, but during the day it's usually up to around zero or above. There, the highest temperature that we ever saw in that two-week period of time was 10 below zero. That was the high. and it went down to 30 below zero, and we spent the entire time out there, one set of clothing, never changed clothing, had a beautiful, fabulous time in that environment. A lot of stories I could tell you about that, but don't need to right now. Years later, there was an article written about me. I was given a challenge by a newspaper organization to go out and do something, and in this article, they wrote, and they had this little quote in here. Now, this is referring back to this 1967 trip. It said, Jim made all his own clothes, his sleeping bag, and his shoes for under $100. Cost a little more nowadays because material's up, but still it's modest in price. Then it went on to say, he violated all of the rules of traditional winter camping. And then, well, the newspaper says, yeah, and he lived to tell about it. You know, that's kind of a newspaper thing. Do you know why I violate the traditional rules? Because the people that are living by the traditional rules, the way that are being taught out there, they're freezing their heinies off. That's the bottom line. And so I don't like being cold. I don't like being wet. So that's the reason why we break the traditions of men, but we do not break the rules of nature, if you will, the laws of nature, because we know who made nature, and he makes things that really work. So just obey the rules, and you're not threatened by them. We'll talk more about that after this break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Welcome back. This is Jim Phillips with Prepare without fear. And just before the break, I was talking about this idea that I violate the traditions of men, but I don't violate the laws of nature, which were made by God, and those things do not change. So if you understand them and work with them, things are going to work out a whole lot better. Okay. So the reason this little article was being written and the reason they said, you know, I violate all the traditional rules is they had given me a challenge. And the challenge was, well, I'd gone in for an interview with these guys, and we had a couple of hours. I was talking about no fire, no shelter, self-drying clothing, make it yourself. We don't use waterproofing in the winter when it's below freezing because it'll get you into. I'm talking about all these principles and ideas and concepts that are, like, different. And they're going, like, this is strange. Is this real? One of the questions they asked me, because I talked about the idea of being able to self-dry without fire, without shelter. And one of these writers said, Mr. Phillips, you mean that if you got yourself wet and it was like cold, you'd be okay? And I'm like, I'll be all right. See, I'd gotten myself damp and wet before, at least what I thought was wet. A little later on, one of them asked me, wait a minute, you mean if you got yourself really, really wet and it was really, really cold, you're not going to like dying? I said, no, I'll be okay. Third time, let me get this under straight, Mr. Phillips. You mean if it was like below zero and you got yourself like wringing wet, you're going to survive this if you couldn't change clothing and have fire and shelter and everything? I said, no, I'd be okay. It'd be tough, but I'd be all right. Finally, the editor-in-chief looked at me and says, let me get this straight, Jim. You mean if it was below zero, you were soaking wet, you had no fire, no shelter, no change of clothing, that you're not going to die out there? And I said, no, I would be okay. We could make that. And he says, that's amazing. We want to do a story about you, but here's what I want you to do. This is called a setup. He said, well, and we're having this conversation in January. He said, I want you to go to one of our frozen lakes, chop a hole in the ice, and then with your funny homemade non-waterproof clothing, let yourself down in the hole in the ice, get yourself completely wet, and then don't change your clothing, come out of the hole in the ice, don't change your clothing, no fire, no shelter, spend the night. Would you do that? And I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I never. He looked at me and said, you ever done that before? And I said, is that normal human behavior? I never thought about doing that. I mean, that's nuts. Why would you do that? That looks painful to me. I mean, I've been wet because it'll get a little bit warm. It'll sleet on you. You can perspire so heavily. You really get your clothing wet at times. So there's different ways that I've been what I thought was wet before, and I knew it was okay. So I thought, well, we'll give this a try. I was curious. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, really do that? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know what? He says it's going to be a wonderful story. He says, and it doesn't make any difference whether you live or die. It'll still be a good story. And I said, thanks, I think. You know, they just changed the headlines on this. You know, crazy man lives or crazy man dies. You know, same headlines or change of word. So we went out to do that. It was an experiment for me. And I wanted to find out what would happen. How tough would that be? I was confident I could get away with it. So we had 18 inches of ice on the lake. The temperatures, it was above zero. It was not extremely cold, but it was well below freezing. I let myself down in that hole in the ice. And I have to tell you, that hurts like crazy. Don't do that. You don't want to do that. And I tell my students, don't go out and do this because, you know, you're pushing the limits when you get yourself soaking wet in temperatures that are way below freezing and you don't change clothing, don't have shelter. I'll tell you all about it, except obvious I lived, I'm still here. But it was a interesting way to find out just how well we could manage this moisture. See you after the break.
It's true.